We get better as we go along.
Yeah, I have the advantage of this.
It's great, very good. All right, you can sign it. Red.
No, wait, I'm sorry.
Oh, don't rush me.
You haven't done it yet?
I haven't done it yet, man.
You've been up there 10 times.
That's right.
You guys get too used to seeing me.
Okay.
You forget this little granddaughter who's visiting in every home.
I am very old, too.
This little neighborhood girl who's visiting.
Little ways.
She gets stuck in tomato and she's super good.
I'm driving around the house 17 times.
Too good.
It's a nerve. You're as bad as I am.
You seem to be a little old lady. Used to be.
It's okay, I don't have any teeth. I can't bite you. Dyed my hair.
No, I didn't even notice. Honest, I didn't. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
And your whole family? Is your husband?
No, he died.
I can feel it. Nancy, you know that I work for the service center. Is there anything we can do for you?
Well, I understand that there's a death benefit with Social Security.
You mean you haven't gotten that?
No, I haven't gotten anything. We know there are all the arrangements that have to be made.
Nancy, how long ago did this happen?
Last week.
You know what we're going to have to do is we're just going to have to go down right tomorrow and we're going to have to check that out. You know our service center down on Center Street is willing to help anybody with the problems they have.
You mean the place with the big eagle out in front?
Yeah, that's it, the big eagle.
That's the sign of the big eagle. But I thought that was just for farm workers.
Well, we've concentrated on farm workers before, but everybody needs help. I mean, farm workers aren't the only people that need help. All poor people need a lot of help because who's willing to, you know, if there's no money in it for somebody, usually they're not willing to help people.
Right? That's for sure. You know, they have that community service bus that takes you to the doctor and you call them up and they go to take you to the doctor and they don't come and you miss your doctor's appointment and you have to go out to the hospital and you wait in line at the clinic out there for 3 hours.
Yeah.
You know, I was over there yesterday and I was there for 4 hours
you
and then I still didn't get any pills.
I'm so sorry, Nancy. That's too bad.
I really need them bad.
No, Nancy, our service center is for everybody who needs the help, who really needs it. Because we know that, well, you know, people come into the service center every day. The other day, an old man came into the service center, and he'd had an accident about 3 or 4 weeks before. No, he was working in the farm, he had an accident, and the farmer wasn't interested in helping him, even though he hurt himself on the farmer's field. So we made sure that he got the proper insurance and got the proper care. That's what our service center is for. And now farm workers are in a better position than they were before. Because over all these years that Cesar Chavez and the farm workers themselves have been working within the union and making the union stronger so that the particular farm problems that farm workers have now that they're being solved more.
But I'm not a farm worker.
Well, that's what I'm getting to, Nancy, because now the farm workers are able to carry on with their own problems. They have problems and they're able to figure out what the problems are and where to solve them. And if the idea is that everybody has problems, and we're just, now that the farm workers, well, we're winning our struggle, you know. The people are eating less grapes and people are eating less lettuce, and we're going to win. We're going to win more contracts.
Until I get my teeth, I can't eat anymore either.
Well, I hope you're not, especially the Gallo wine, Nancy. I hope you're laying off the
Gallo
wine.
Oh, but just a little nip before bed.
Almaden, right? Almaden, that's good. So, now the next group of people we're going to organize is poor people. Other poor people who aren't just farm workers, and especially old people. Old people have a lot of problems that people aren't really interested in taking care of, like getting to the doctor and getting the pills you need, right? Or getting Social Security benefits because your husband died. Like, what kind of people are really interested in those except for old people? Well, the union realizes this, and we want to make sure that all poor people get the things that they need. So what we're starting to do, like what I'm doing right now, is coming to old people. And we should discuss the problems, the exact problems that you have, and figure out how we can solve them. Because look, Nancy, what happens, you have the problem all by yourself of getting disability for your husband. You don't have a car. The buses don't come by here every day. You know, how are you going to get it solved all by yourself? But what if I help you? And what if somebody else has the same problem down the street, and you go to them and you say, well, I know where you can get help. If 2 and 3 people and 4 and 5 people get together on a problem, it's a lot easier to solve, right?
Right.
Right. Right answer. Next question. A lot of times the problems that poor people have are that the laws aren't made in their favor, or that the laws are made against them. The laws are made for younger people, or they're made for richer people. And what we have to do is we have to get to the point where the government and where the agencies are thinking more about older people than they are just thinking about their own selves. And how are we going to do that?
You know, Tina, I admire you. I really do. You young people are so great. I mean, you have so much energy and you're working so, and I just admire
you. Nancy, didn't you come into the service center the other day and help me paint the walls? Now, don't tell me that you don't have any energy.
But
and Nancy, didn't you come into the service
Tina,
center the other day?
Tina, I'm older and wiser than you. I've been voting for 50 years now.
Are you going to come into the office tomorrow?
It doesn't do any good.
Are you going to come into the office?
It doesn't do any good. Nothing changes. I voted for McGovern. And look what happened. It doesn't work, Tina. I wish it would, but it won't work.
Are you going to come into the office tomorrow?
Of course.
And we're going to help you get your Social Security benefit for your husband, right?
Right.
Well, that's one way. Right? We're going to start right there. And you know how come I'm going to help you?
Why?
The reason we have a service center to help you is because other farm workers, maybe 2 or 3 of them, got together and said, oops, we got a problem. So they got together, a little bit of money, and we opened a little bit of an office so we can go out and help other people. And that's what you can do, too. Look.
But, Tina, half of them don't have teeth, the other half can't see, and the other half can't get out around anywhere.
Look,
how
Nancy,
can we help?
Why don't we get together, some of your friends who ain't got teeth, and some of them who can't see very far, why don't we get together in this very house and talk about some of those problems? And I'll bet we'll find a way to help each other. Why don't we do that? What about day after tomorrow? What if I come over and we talk to some of your friends about the problems that we have? And then I'll bet if 3 or 4 of us get together and we start talking about it, we'll find a way to do it. And if we do it here, and the union just doesn't have this place here in Center City, California, we've got offices in
Sun City,
Arizona. We got offices in Delano, in Sacramento, in Delano. And if little people like us are getting together all over, something might be able to come out of it. Now, when would you like me to come over on Tuesday at 4 o'clock and you'll have some of your friends here and we'll talk about some of these problems?
Well, Tina, like I say, I really, really admire what you're
doing. You don't want to have
a
meeting?
Well, I'd love to, Tina.
You really would.
See,
how many friends can you get?
You don't understand. Let me explain. See, I live in this government housing project, mm-hmm. and if I have any kind of meetings like that, political meetings, they'll kick me out.
How do you know they'll kick you out?
Because you're not allowed to do anything political. It says in the contract. And the government runs it, and they'll take away my Social Security check, and then I won't have anything.
Nancy, they won't take away your Social Security check. Farm workers, before Cesar Chavez started helping farm workers, they weren't even allowed to get state disability. You know what state disability is, right? When a worker gets hurt, or when he's sick, when he stays out of job for a while, it's a state law that he can get some... They can get a little check.
You know, they have all these
while.
Rules and regulations, and you know, if you do anything like that, you know, they take it away from you.
That's if you're all by yourself, Nancy, but I'm here to help you. The union's here to help you.
Tina, with you around, we can't go wrong.
I'm glad you think that way. Tuesday
all
at
right.
4 o'clock
all right.
with some of your friends.
All right.
I'm glad, Nancy. Thank you very much for this.
Tina's presentation.
She
gave her a hard time. Some friend you turned off.
She picked the wrong first friend.
Don't forget when you're talking, when you're saying a few of your friends also mentioned a few of your friends and their husbands.
And
don't forget about telling him that you're going to call.
You missed a good one.
Yeah?
She made every single one of them.
Oh, she did.
You got it on tape.
Yeah.
Oh, it was.
But that was good, Tina.
Yeah.
Everyone has his own or her own technique.
There's
no one perfect, no one best style.
I want to hear it in Spanish. Actually, can you, I think, can Minnie and Feli do it in Spanish? Sure, seriously?
You want to hear it in Spanish?
Yeah.
Or hear it in English?
No, but I think it'd be good just to hear the grammar.
Yeah.
Like, when the people come into the office, you know, just by looking at them, if you have that rapport with them already, you almost already know what you're going to say to them, how you're going to say hello to them. Each person you can approach, one you can approach a little more dearly, and another one you shake their hand, and that right away just clicks it for you, you know, and then you just
when
calm
is
my yourself turn? Down.
Why don't you do it with a family, imagining that she's somebody that you know?
It's hard. She's
and
too
she
young.
Won't fight you. Like I
do.
Oh, sí, sí lo puedo hacer en español, seguro.
Bueno, eso sí lo
puedo decir. Seguro que lo puedo decir, pero... ¿Por qué no me gusta la silencia?
Pues ni sabes cuando está jalando.
Seguro que sí, mira, es que la estoy mirando que está
jalando. No, 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 no.
Completely forgot about that machine that it was on because I hadn't even thought about it. I was looking at the people and trying to concentrate what I was going to do, and I didn't think about it until after I sat down.
Yeah, why don't you?
If it's ready,
if it's
clear, why? You should have told me to expand it first.
There's no water.
I know that when I'm talking to someone and there's an opener and they ask me one question and I go into another and I go into the rap, and then maybe they ask me another very minor question, but already I'm on my way, and once I start rapping, you know, I just want to go on, you know,
yeah,
on. And I kind of just...
put them off a little bit?
Yeah, I let her go ahead and speak, because I know I get that way sometimes. Once I get carried away and start speaking about the union, and they're willing to listen, sometimes you get some good listening.
And usually the Chicanos, the Mexican people, you know, they wait until you get them to tell them, and then they say, oh, yes.
The sympathetic ones are good listeners.
A lot of problems.
The ones that are against you are going to start, well, didn't we hear this, didn't we hear that, and, you know. But it, like you say, the first couple is going to be a sympathetic couple or a person. So naturally, your own most father is going to get a good listener.
That's right, but some, as you say, some of those that come, that are invited to the house meeting by this sympathetic one,
they're going to get more questions.
Yeah, but I think if you always remember to pave the way by bringing up some of these goodies like she did, you know, and that immediately, as soon as she started doing that, well, you start coming out with some of your problems, you know, and that's what automatically happens, you know, almost every time. As soon as you open the door just a little bit by reminding the other person of some of the benefits as you put
especially the being fitting together, you know, the being united, the, mm-hmm. you know, together we can do it, you
yeah.
know, we can go down there and
that's
go
right.
together,
right.
you know, and mm-hmm. usually they don't like to go one or two, but you get more than five together, they'll go down there.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Did any of you talk anything about trying to get anything out of them? To help in the boycott or to help in...
On the personal, the first meeting?
Yeah.
Was it one person?
Yeah. I don't mean to really bear down on them, but just to mention some of the other programs and see what the reaction would be.
I think all the people were so hard that we were looking to get house.
We gave you a bad time.
How about the whole idea of, you know, if we have house meetings and people are bilingual,
you're going to have to translate it then.
Well, that's not too hard. It's not easy either, but it's not.
No, but if you talk, say, for maybe 3 or 4 minutes and then in one language and then stop and go to the other, that's the way Caesar does it. He does a beautiful job of it.
It's true.
And then go back. Yeah, well, it's the only way you can do it. Because if you just go on and on and on for 15 or 20 minutes or whatever, then you'll find that the other group that can't understand, they're having another meeting over there in the corner someplace in their own language.
They're translating for each other.
Well, not only that, they're having their own meeting, you know.
But let me ask you something. What do you hope to see come out of this, right? I mean, is it, do you hope to see, not just see these people organized into some sort of organization and doing their own thing, but do you also hope to see them participate in the service center, in the union, or are you shooting for...
In what way in the union?
Are you pass out leaflets or picket or stuff like that?
Yes.
Are you also hoping that they'll boycott Gallagher?
Yes, indeed.
Race?
Right.
And that's more or less one of the reasons why we're trying to get them organized. On one hand, we're offering them the service center and offering to help them.
And their own problems, and legislative problems.
Goes around this way to this side.
Sure.
You know,
yeah.
Come and answer the phone at the service center.
Mm-hmm.
Help us leaflet.
Sure.
And
it's only fair, you know.
I mean, is this what I'm trying to?
Sure.
Like you find.
But it is. But you know, we could do without them. You know, if it were just a matter of getting extra help, we don't need the extra help that much. We could get that extra help from among the farm workers themselves if that was all we wanted. But you know, Caesar's idea was to expand the sphere of operations of the whole union and make it truly a poor people's operation. All, you know, not only among the old people, but eventually, as you said, among the rest of the poor people, and not only out in the rural areas, but eventually into the cities.
And then too, like if you're picking a store and some of these old people come up. They're going to be your friends, and they're not going to cross the picket lines because we're going to continue to use boycott.
Right. It's a broad ranging thing in that. This is the only organization that knows how to organize people. You know, you go out on the east side, and there's all kinds of little nothing organizations out there because nobody will take the time or really make the sacrifice out there to do what it takes to do what Caesar did. They care too much about security. So they get scared if you start saying, well, why don't you do what Caesar did and what Malcolm X did before he got shot, you know? He didn't have any money either.
But I see that as an educational thing, too.
Huh? Oh, well, that's the thing that paves the way for everything.
You know, if you were to ask me how many people I've worked with that are that old, that I come into contact with at that old, there aren't very many.
Did you come in contact with?
I mean, maybe during the summer I came into contact with you, but not very many. And now that I'm thinking about it, that's why.
I have because where we are, where our office is situated in a place where there's elderly people. They just live around there.
Yeah.
You know, cheap housing and such, and so that's where they live, and they walk across it. And there's just the business that's there is Notary Public's up and down that avenue for people because we're so close to the border.
Yeah.
And then, like, everything they need, a letter read from Medi-Cal, a letter read from Social Security, they would go to the Notary Public and pay him. And now that they know we're there, we have never said it's just for farm workers. We're just the doors are open, and whoever comes in, we take care of them, we sit there and rap with them. And so they're coming to us to read their letters and for us to fill out their alien cards. And
but you're very popular.
Right. So we have one on each side.
Yeah.
On each side. He used to charge them a quarter to fill out their alien registration cards.
I think
we're
going to check on that.
Crazy.
A quarter to fill out their alien cards.
I don't think I'm working.
So they're coming, yeah.
On the border, they charge them $1 or $2.
Oh, is it at the border? Well, they're coming to us, and so...
What's on the border for you? That is a funny thing to say.
Just the registration card?
The alien registration.
A back? Copy everything from Amica.
Everything's on it.
I know. Except for their address. And their employer. And so a lot of them say, well, gee, you know, how much owe you? And so why don't we wrap on the... on the boycott and everything, and then they say, well, you know, there's something I can do. You know, we're on our way to the post office. Oh, well, can you bring us some stamps or can you bring us some more cards? Sure, sure. And they walk up there and back. It's quite a ways.
Mm-hmm.
We'd have to ride in a car. And they bring us anything we need, like stamps or cards or anything else that we need, they go and get for us.
This question you raised, I think it's understandable. I remember when Susie was organizing CSO in Oxnard. And he went to a lot of house meetings in the beginning there, and nobody ever raised a question about the farm workers. And here, this was they had more braceros in that town alone, as you know, than any other town in the United States. And finally, one night, somebody started in on the farm workers a little bit. But he said, of course, I know that CSO doesn't have anything to do with the farm workers, and I just thought I'd tell you about that particular problem. I don't expect the CSO to do anything like that. In other words, they had their own image of what the CSO was. It was sort of a myth that CSO helps with citizenship and immigration and voter registry and all these goodies and so forth, but not with the farm workers' problem. Well, the old people undoubtedly have the same idea about the union.
Mm-hmm.
The union doesn't help the old people, it helps the farm workers, so they don't come to you, except a few of them.
And
that's,
you know,
all you need is just a few.
And you know, this
to get started.
Not a strange thing, but there's an area outside of Sacramento called Broderick. And in this area, but honest to God, you have this Judge Bonetti who owns all these. I'm going to take pictures someday. I'm going to bring them so you can see them. They're old houses like the kind I was raised in when I was a little girl in Oxford. These are ribs of wreck. Tiny little Cracker Jack old made of wood houses where just the bed and a little thing, cook a hot plate to keep it. And it's really funny because my friend Carmen, who works with me, most of the people that live there, all of the people that live there, are old people. And those houses are so bad. They're all over the place. They're all over the place, and they're all owned by Judge Bonetti. Judge Bonetti. And they're... It's like you went back 40 years or something. You know?
Yeah.
And you've seen these. Remember the houses in Oxnard? You know, 1943 when I was going way back. You know, the real shack.
Yeah.
The barrio, you know.
Yeah.
Because we lived in a barrio, because I'm from Quinto Patio.
What?
Quinto Patio.
Quinto Pato?
Yeah, Quinto Patio.
Patio. Oh, patios.
Yeah. And every time I see those little houses, you know, I think back, I think, God, you know, I thought those houses went up with a depression or something. And yet you see these people, they can barely walk,
yeah,
or trying to open the door and get a little bit of sunlight and then walk back in.
This is,
God, they probably
this
just die there, you know, nobody gives a
hell. This isn't a barrio, this is just where...
I mean, these are a lot of Anglo people.
Yeah.
And I tell you, Fred, the only thing that fits there is just that damn bed and the hot plate. Just enough could possibly fit there. It's just a like that.
Yeah.
And he's got little cabins all over Broadway, all over the place. He's got them like that all over the place. Really, really ugly.
Mm-hmm. And it probably there's not, you know, he's in violation of all kinds of laws, too. And nobody does.
Oh, no, because he's Judge Bennett.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's that, outside of Sacramento?
It's across the river.
Yeah.
Just across the river.
In the other county.
In Broadway. No.
I'm still in Sacramento County.
It's in Sacramento. It's in Yolo.
Yeah.
But it's across the river. It's in Yolo County.
Governor Brown should go out and take a little cruise.
But you know, you just, it's unbelievable. Someday when you go to Sacramento, go to Broadway.
Yeah,
just,
I think I've
been. And you just.
Don't we have a new person in health and welfare?
Sacramento?
Yeah, that's right.
We have Chicago. That's
yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Put the finger on the judgment.
Right.
For all those old people, the way they have them.
Sure. They've probably found a lot of violations. Has everybody gone through the thing? I better find out. I think they're just fooling around back there.
Throwing a ball back there. Out of all countries.
One is an important message from this office. You're supposed to call the field office right away.
And what have you got an important message for us about the video?
Yeah.
You couldn't find it, did you?
Yeah.
Oh.
What?
The video?
Yeah.
It's coming up this evening.
Oh, great.
From where?
From LA.
Oh, good.
It'll be here Saturday.
What card? What card? We'll wait for it over here.
It's fun. Craft 2? Don't let him into Laval. Must be white.
We're getting one or two, Chris?
Chris?
Excuse me.
Water.
One or two?
One. That's all we can guess.
All right.
What time would you like him to?
We probably won't need him until noon.
Until noon?
Yeah.
Okay, because if it's possible, Bill should stay down and get instructions from the guy at 9 o'clock.
Tonight?
Tomorrow morning.
Oh, I see.
So he'd be back here by 11:30
okay.
Or something.
Oh, that's good.
That's okay.
Yeah, we want to be sure he knows how to run them.
Yeah.
He would be a mess of them.
And we have 30 tapes. So we have plenty of tapes. But so all we can do is one.
Yeah, well, it's okay.
Thanks.
Thank you. I think the consensus was that the person who was the most affected was Liz Sullivan, who's been with the union the shortest length of time, about 2 weeks. But she was about the last on the agenda. And she said the reason that she felt good about what she had done was that she had had the experience of listening to everybody else and hearing us criticize everybody else. Some of the problems were that we started out, I think, overwhelming the people we were visiting. We talked too much about too many different things and confused people. They didn't really know what we were getting at. This was sort of a problem that everybody had at first. Trying to bring in the history of farm worker organizing, the history of the union, the poor people's union, conversing with a person about their health and their family and so forth. There's so many different topics that it was sort of hard to get around to the fact that we were there asking a favor. And when we did, it wasn't too clear what the favor was. But after hearing a few people criticizing the approach and the mistakes made, finally we got on to what we should do and what was most effective, and we all learned as we went along. And at the last, when Liz gave her presentation, everything was presented very effectively. I don't think Liz missed a point. And we decided, we reached some conclusions. We decided that to be very simple, to present just a few simple ideas rather than complex complex structure of the union and the history of the union and all that. But just a simple, straightforward visit was more effective. And it was a little bit about the union brought in. Does anybody have anything to add? Nancy, you're looking thoughtful. Tina, what did you learn from the demonstrations?
The best way to do it is to make it as simple and as clear as possible. And explain exactly what you want to do. Exactly what you want to do.
Pat, what did you learn? Did you get some good ideas? Did you feel it was useful?
Yes. To me, it was useful in the sense that I learned from the sessions that the other people had. The criticism that was directed towards me was that I was being too general about what it was that I wanted to get across. But listening to the other people go through their sessions, I developed some kind of ideas to what it was exactly that we wanted to get across, and the manner in which we should approach, the personal visit, the initial personal visit, listening that different person.
I think actually.
Would you please speak up, because this needle is going clear down to the end. So speak up, all of you, when you talk, so we can be sure and get you on the tape.
I think we need more practice. What's in it up?
What I tried to follow, I didn't do too good a job on it, but what I tried to follow was the idea that what Mr. Ross told us for the service centers to follow the high points or to bring out the high points. And I tried to do it that way, and I didn't do as good a job as I would have liked to have done. But I think if the service center people do follow the high points, I think we'll get each point across short and quick.
And I think, you see, this isn't the only time you're going to be practicing on this. When you go back to your office, are you the only one? Some of you, of course, are the only one in the office. It's not going to be too easy. But those of you that have somebody else in the office can practice with them. And it should not only can, but should definitely do that before you actually start working on the people themselves. You should go over this at least once or twice more in the same way that you did, that you've been doing it here, so that when you do start, in the same way the telephone, you shouldn't just, start phoning as soon as you go back, unless you really, really feel very confident of what you want to do on that phone. Otherwise, I think you ought to practice it again, and then have somebody listening to you while you're actually making your first telephone call to your first person out there, and have somebody go with you after you have practiced again on the personal visit. Have somebody go with you, call on that personal visit person with you. And naturally the same thing holds for the house meeting when we get into that. So that you have a monitor along with you who can be observing what you're doing, learning himself or herself, and also so you can have a post-mortem with them afterwards over a cup of coffee or something, going over your presentation and, being critical of it and so forth, because that way you keep improving and improving. Otherwise, you're never quite sure whether you're doing a good job of it or not, Ben? Speak up, please, and please do speak up, because this thing isn't going to get you otherwise. I think that everyone in there did a fairly good job. There was some, there's one that was very good, it was Aggie, that one completely threw her off as a person that didn't know anything about the union. I think she handled it very well, and I think that's from that she's done it before. But she was the only one that made use of a leaflet. Not only have a leaflet, she had a relocation card with her, and she came off very good on it. I think we had a couple of good examples of what not to do, and one was on David got completely shut out of one by accepting a call back from the person he was trying to get the meeting from. I think it's something that could happen to us. We had another one where they just started off with a negative note, and I think it's that on a couple of people where there's the personal hangups might say where people use the word maybe all the time, or they happen to get in to use the phrase if possible all the time, or we have one that uses you know about 100 times.
Wait till that person gets on the video, and it's really going to stand out.
And I think that's why I think that the video and even tape recordings are good, because you get to see the things that you do that unconsciously, things that might hurt your delivery. But I think most of one of the things was good is that almost everyone was going after the same type of subject, going after revocation, but everyone was approaching it in a little different way. And some of the reactions of the people and how they handled it was very well. I think that we all know that when we go out there, even though they might be friendly, and they're ex-union members, is that they might have some complaints, and that some of those complaints are going to have to be dealt with right there. And in some places, if people are alibying, I think you're going to have to use, the method of challenging. Take it head on and challenge them. So, listeners, was there any other comments? Pablo? No?
No.
I thought the enthusiasm, both in the service center group and in the field office group, was very good in almost every case. And I thought that also that you were very tenacious in going after what you were going after and getting what you were going after. And that's the only way to do. Otherwise, you're not going to get it. So if you just hang in there, keep fighting, you're going to get it.
We're a tenacious bunch.
Yeah.
One of the comments that I want to make is that probably many of the other people, we could do better, if we would stop worrying, about the people who surrounded us, yeah. That they're going to criticize us,
That's natural.
I think we shouldn't let that bother us. But I think...
you can't help it. That's natural.
Yeah, but if we worry too much,
it's human nature.
Well, but do you think very many were very worried about that?
Well, I think the ones that start first, yes.
Oh.
The last two or three, they don't worry as much, because they really were picking up at least.
They're into
criticizing,
yeah.
The bad and pick up the good stuff,
I've been
working
since August, I've been working full time. And I know a lot of the mechanics of running an office and the problems and that sort of thing. But as far as selling something, right now I'm beginning to find out that I'm getting sold. Because I could go out and say, well, what do you want this unit for? And I go, well, and I have to, it has to come out of me, and that this is what I found out happened.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Very good. The other two things, I don't know whether you may have forgotten whether you mentioned them or not, but we do. We have to constantly keep that business of getting the man and wife both involved wherever we can. And we want to be sure and mention, as I've mentioned, that we're going to call them to make sure that they're doing their job.
I think we would do that instinctively.
Well, you'd be surprised, you know, when somebody gives in and says, "Okay, I'll do it." Sometimes we're just so joyful about it, you know, that we think nothing else matters. I've got, I just sold them, you know, everything's going to go okay. Well, that's just the first step, as we know.
I thought about calling Matt, but I thought, well, maybe I'll be bugging him too much, you know.
That's what I want to talk about now, because that's the next. There's a period between now, between that personal visit and the house meeting itself, that I want to talk about now. Because that period is filled with interesting things. And if you're not careful, that's the period that can throw you. You think you've got everything all laid out, and that house meeting is going to come out beautifully. And then some things begin to happen. Well, one of the things that begins to happen.
Fred,
uh-huh.
This is a period between the
personal visit and the house meeting. See, you've just completed your personal visit, and you have persuaded this person to invite some of his or her friends and their husbands or wives over to meet with you so you can come and really bear down on them and win them. You've also let the person know that you're going to be calling to make sure that everything's going along okay. So, you do. Very often it takes about a week to get this thing rolling, just barely beginning to roll. From the time you have your first house meeting, from the time you have your first personal visit until you have your first house meeting. You're having several personal visits, but they don't want to have a meeting the next night, a house meeting the next night or the next one either. They want to have it a week from that night. So don't get discouraged if you can't talk them into having a house meeting tomorrow night or the next night. Naturally, the sooner the better. But let's assume that your house meeting is going to come up a week from tonight, which is when you sold this person today on having a house meeting. So about halfway through the week, today's Wednesday, isn't it? So about Saturday, you're going to have next Wednesday. The house meeting is set for next Wednesday. So about Saturday, you call the person. That's about halfway through. And, just say, well, this is Fred Ross, and I'm just calling to see how things are going. And the person is liable to say what?
Usually they say, "Oh, I'm glad you called because I can't go that night. I just found out I had a PTA meeting."
They're liable to say what thing?
Or else they might say, "Well, I called a lot of people and they just don't want to come. They're not interested."
Yeah.
Or that's a bad night for everybody.
Yeah. Or I'm glad you called me because I haven't called anybody yet.
Yeah. Right. Now that if they say that one, there's still quite a bit of hope. That it just means that they're still gung ho for the thing maybe, and they really did forget about it, and they are going to go ahead and do it. But those other answers that she gave you, or gave us, indicate one thing. What do they indicate?
Copping out on you.
Why?
Not interested. You didn't sell.
I don't think
that's right.
They weren't sold.
And that's one of the things that we have to, we just have to condition ourselves to take the blame for it. You know? We think that we did, and we kid ourselves into thinking we did, but when we really, really are truthful with ourselves, we know we didn't sell them well enough. When they start giving us answers like that, when we call up over the phone, except for that last answer, we just got to accept the truth. We did not. We have not won them. And so we've got to go back and start over again. If we think there's any hope left, then there are ways to start over again. But very often, a person, an organizer, refuses to take that blame. and projects the blame out of the person. Says, "Ah, well, they're just no good. You know, they're just. I should have realized, that, you know, when I talked to them, that I can't. Well, you can't count on. They let me down. Well, actually, who let who down? You let them down. You let yourself down. You let them down. They didn't let you down by not selling. And Caesar's got a wonderful explanation for all this when he says that some people are born losers. They just build their lives on failure. What he means by that is that they have given up any idea of actually succeeding and winning for some reason or other, whatever it is. And so they're not interested in winning, really, for some reason or other. We don't have to go into all that. So when they lose, it doesn't come as any surprise at all. That's what they're programmed for, failure, you know. And so when they lose, well, that's what they were going to do, you know. They aren't disappointed with themselves. They aren't put out with themselves. It's just, you know, that's. They don't say that, but that's inside. That's the way that they really are not trying to win anymore. Maybe they never did. Or maybe they did try a little bit, but not hard enough, and they lost, so they just said, oh, how about it? They're no good. Or the people in this area, well, they're just a bunch of birchers. There's no use in trying to work over here. I wonder whether I'm going to try to get them to transfer me over to that other district. We've got people out there on the boycott. Well, I've got just one word for it. It isn't a very nice word. Well, I'm not going to say it. I'll say it in a different way. They're flutterbutts. They're a bunch of flutterbutts. Some of them. They start working in one place. A month later, that place is no good. There's not enough poor people there. There's not enough black people there. There's not enough this there. There's not enough that there. I want to be transferred over to this place. Richard's got some problems back there right now this way in New York. And about 3 weeks or a month go by, the same person wants to be transferred someplace else. Something else has gone wrong there, you know. It's not the person. There's nothing wrong with the person. It's always the people out there. You can't organize and do this and that and so forth. And now the person wants to be transferred someplace else. If we just accept the fact that, we just did not bear down hard enough, or else we would have won, and we wouldn't have this sort of thing happening. Now, what Aggie brought up is not even half of the thing. But that, it's not so bad when they bring it up, when you find out in the middle of the week that this person can't get people, and she can't win them over the phone, or he can't win them over the phone, because maybe, just maybe, you can salvage that by going over there and talking to him again, or him again, and trying to figure out in the meantime or on the way over just what it was that you did wrong, why it was that they weren't able to get the people to come over to see him. And usually you can come up with the right answer. It was either that you didn't give them enough in the way of information to pass on to the people that they're trying to persuade, or else you didn't do it in an exciting, enthusiastic way with animo. And so when you go over there, you just got to try it again, if you think that you can salvage it. Now, worst of all is this. You call on this Wednesday, everything's fine. The person has started to make the telephone calls. Probably hasn't finished yet, and is just glad you called because that, like she said, that gets her back on the tracks again, and she may start making the phone calls. Get them over there. But on the last day, on Wednesday, a week from now, in the afternoon, usually, the phone very often starts ringing. And that is a very rough time. People are beginning to call up to cancel out on house meetings, on 0 hour on D-Day. They're calling up to say, well, I couldn't get anybody. There isn't hardly any possibility that, you know, they call up late Wednesday afternoon, they're supposed to have the meeting that night, and they call up to tell you, well, I have to cancel out of the meeting because I can't get anybody to come. You know, or else I'm going to be out of town, or some people are arriving from New Mexico or wherever, and I just can't have the meeting. It's just hopeless. I'm sorry. I wish I could help you and so forth. Well, if those people themselves right then volunteer to reschedule the meeting, as many of them do, and if they volunteer to do it, that means you have sold them. They, for some reason or other, they just haven't been able to do it, but they want to do it. So that means you've sold them, or else they wouldn't want to do it. See, they just say, I'm sorry, I better not try, I just can't do it. So, there's a way around that. The first, we've already said one of the things we have to do is to make that telephone call to remind them. And maybe we're going to find out some of the things that Aggie said, and maybe, and so we do the best we can with them. But even where they've said that they're starting to make the telephone calls, I think it's a very good idea, in order to guard against cancellation on the day of the meeting, for each one of you to go out to that house and make a second personal visit. Not in the same way, but you don't have to go over all the same material and all that, but just to drop in on them and ask them if you can use their telephone, for instance. I just happen to be in the neighborhood, and would you mind if I use your phone, you know? And then while you're there, you got a shot at them again. You can talk to them and find out, you know, what they're doing. If there's anything that they need to know, maybe you could even be there while they make a telephone call and see if what they're doing that might be wrong. Or if it's okay, fine, just keep after them. Not only that, but you have got a shot at getting to know them a little bit better, cementing the friendship that you've already started, or that you've already got going. It's just a little better after you've been with them another time. And then you can take that opportunity to find out who it is that they're trying to invite to come over. Maybe you can find out a little bit about some of the people that are going to come, which is going to pay off for you on the night of the house meeting, because you'll already know some of the things that you can bring up that might appeal to the people that are going to come, because of what the host or hostess has told you about them. You can bring up things that are inside the experience of those people and stimulate them by bringing, you know, if you find out that one of them is active in some society, or another one goes to this particular church or that particular church, and you happen to say something in the course of the meeting about this particular church that we're interested in getting some help over there, or we have already made contact over there, or at this with this society, or with this other group, or at this church, it makes them focus on you. You know, it brings them a little bit closer to you when you start remarking about things that they don't even know you know about them, you see? And you start talking about things in their lives that they don't even realize you know about. Well, you got them from the host. It's like the seances almost, you know, the spiritualism, and they tell you all about it. Well, they got that information from somebody else, and they're pretending like they just got it out of thin air. So that all helps. It'll really pay off on the night of the meeting. Then it helps prevent that last cancellation on the day of the meeting, the late afternoon of the Wednesday before you're supposed to have the meeting. Well, what if you begin to have this 0 hour on D-Day cancellation problem, maybe somebody will, and maybe you won't. I don't, you know, I think it's, as compared with the problems that they have in organizing out there in the boycott, I think you're really going to have it easy, you know, because you know these people. And I think you're really going to be able to do a marvelous job. But here and there, you'll run into these problems. That's why I'm bringing them up. Because they're just running into these same problems all over the United States, this cancellation problem.
What's the, you know, a lot of farm workers don't have telephones.
Well, then you have to go out to their house.
I mean, you could just do your personal visit, but unannounced.
Right. Yeah. Oh, you can do it.
Yeah. Right, it didn't time, right?
Or breakfast.
So, and you're going to have to go out and remind them.
Yeah.
In the car. It takes that much longer, you see, if they don't have a phone. That's why we have to hurry up and help them raise their budgets and their pensions and all that, so they get a phone, a telephone installed, so we can organize it better. But as I say, if you get this cancellation problem on the last day, which is the cute little thing that some of them pull on you, because they think that that's going to stop you cold. There's no way you're going to be able to force them to hold a house meeting that night when they call you at the last minute that way. There isn't time. Well, so that's the time that you are not in. In other words, unless you're the only one in the office, then you have to work it. But if there's somebody else in the office, let that somebody else answer the phone on the day that you're supposed to have a house meeting in the afternoon. And you're not in. You're not home. And so then the person will leave a message for you to tell you that the meeting has been canceled. So you know it. So you get the message, all right. You get several messages, and so what do? You show up there that night. You just go there anyway. And the person says, "Oh, did you get my message?" "No, what message?" "Well, the message I left, or nobody's coming. I couldn't get, or whatever, you know. Couldn't leave. I couldn't get them." All right. And it's, gee, that's wow. How come you waited so late? Why didn't you? Gee, do you know what this means? You know, this means it just knocks out a whole night in this week. And when I don't have time, I mean, when I haven't got even an hour to spare, it knocks out 5 hours. So we're on a campaign, you know, and we're trying to just desperately to get as many people involved in this as possible and get the word around to as many people as we possibly can. And now, I just don't have any place to go tonight. If you just let me know, like yesterday or something, well, then I could have planned something else for tonight. But now, this is awful. So, well, I think we can still salvage it. Since, you know, Mahomet won't come to the mountain, the mountain's got to go to Mahomet. So get your coat on and let's go see somebody. They won't come over here. You haven't got them lined up to come over here. Let's go see some of them. That way, at least we salvage some of the, even if we only call on one person tonight. So they're your friends, you see. They're not worried about getting in the car with you because you're already friendly with them. It's a little harder to do this in the cities, you know, where they don't know you from Adam.
Is that a little rough on the old folks?
What's that?
Is that a little rough on
the old folks? Well, not if you're with them, you see, and you can help them get in the car and keep them from stumbling over the cats and so forth. But it's a way of avoiding this whole business of just the...
Right.
The big blank, drawing a blank for that night. Of course, there's something that's even worse than that. When you pull up at the house, it's all dark. Or even worse than that, you pull up at the house and it's dark, and then you tear away and the lights go back on.
That's a little power figure.
Yeah. They go back to watch the TV. But, so I wouldn't, I mean, in order to avoid some of this cancellation stuff, I wouldn't make a telephone call on the night of the meeting or the night before. I would make it two nights before, because it, very often, if you've got cancellationitis there, somebody, you know, they're liable. When you call them up the night before the meeting, they're liable to tell you, well, I just can't get anybody. I've been trying, and then, well, it's... Whereas, I mean, they say, I haven't got time then, even then, to make these phone calls. I can't get the people or whatever. But if you call two nights before you're supposed to have the meeting, they still have two nights to do it in. So they really can't say that they don't have time to do it, and with any, you know, validity. Because that's another one of these little incidentals, you know, that's really a fundamental in organizing, and that's reminding people enough. You just can't hardly remind people enough. Well, they're not, you know, with many of them, they aren't used to this kind of organizing. They aren't used to inviting people over for a house meeting. Like one of the people in here said, well, I can't have anybody over because I live in a public housing project. And, well, you said it. And Nancy said, it's against the rules. And they'll say, oh, well, throw me out and get my Social Security cut off because it's political. You know, I can't have a meeting in my house. That'd be political. Well, they think it is, but, well, there's nothing political about it. Just inviting two people over to come and talk to them. But they don't understand it that way. Because it's outside of their experience. They haven't ever had a meeting in their house before. And they haven't invited people over for that purpose. They've invited people over, you know, for a little party or something, but not for this. So in order to make sure that it comes off, you have to be especially careful. Hopefully, because you do know these people, they're going to be more responsive than people that don't know you at all, as is the situation in so many of the cities. But even so, you can't take a chance. You've got to remind them. And even, as Aggie said, even at the cost of going out, if they don't have a phone and calling on them to remind them, that's going to take a lot of extra time if you have to call on them. But in one way, it's even better, because you can cement the friendship so much better by dropping in on them. In other words, the more time you can spend out in the neighborhoods when you start this during this organizing drive, the more successful you're going to be, because you're going to be out there with the people. And that's why the people in the Farm Workers Union have always been able to, well, out organize people who've tried to disrupt us. Those of you that have been in the cities, and well, you're getting some of it out here in the areas now, in the rural areas, but in the cities, they've got revolutionary unions and the Trotskyists and all these that come in, you know, and try and disrupt the organization and get everybody upset about the illegals and all that, you know. Well, but they won't work. That's one good thing, you see. They won't work. They'll just get up and blah, blah, yak, 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 and we can organize the people, because we will work, and we can organize against that kind of an attack. We can get the people ready for it. Long before they ever come to our regular meetings, we can organize them right in the homes and warn them against these people. I understand that you've got the problem of progressive labor with Camacho and his crew out there. And, well, you know, the best place to get the people ready for Mr. Camacho and his gang is right in the house meetings. Just warn them against them right there in the house meetings.
And it's just like, that's the thing. Ben told me about it. So I had my people primed already in Fresno when he showed up in Fresno. And he was very cordially asked to leave.
Oh, that's great.
Or he was going to be put out.
That's great.
And that was it.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, they put it that way.
but you had to do some work to get the word around to the people, and you did it and took care of it. And we have to do that because we just can't let some of these people that, you know, just sit around and philosophize about the, well, whatever they're philosophizing about come in and ruin our organization after all the hard work we've put into building.
You know, we had the same problem with Watsonville. They took just one meeting with a committee of Watsonville. We put them on the spot. Yeah. You know, we said, you're the people that got to take care of it, you know.
Yeah. Well, you had some problems right there in Salinas, too, didn't you? Yeah.